Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've mentioned this before, but by way of starting, Bernie Glassman, about the Four Noble Truths, would say they're not truths. He refers to the Four Noble Opinions. And so what I have to say is just an opinion, my opinion. And I know I gave a talk about this, I think it was last time, about the current state of affairs in our country. And I just really just wrote a bunch of one-liners and thought that I would use them to say a few words. First of all, I was straightening up a bunch of papers and stuff that I have at home, and I came across this. You probably can't see it, but it's a moon in the branch of a pine tree. And it was a Christmas card. And on the bottom of it, it says, "We cannot do great things on this earth, only small things with great love." And that was Mother Teresa. Only small things with great love. So one of the things that occurred to me is, you know, I don't mean this in a braggadocio way, but there was a time when I worked a full-time job. I worked on weekends with my brother-in-law in the catering business, went to see Roshi twice a week at 4:30 in the morning, and also went to graduate school. And so the reason for this is we all have some similar story about periods in our life where we knew how to sacrifice and we knew how to dedicate ourselves to attain something in particular. So we all come here with that experience in one form or another. And I think in terms of what's going on, we can draw on that. We can draw on the knowledge that we know how to sacrifice and we know how to achieve an end. You know, whether it's to go to graduate school or it's to buy a house or save money to raise a family or to spend money for college, all those things, each one of us has the intrinsic ability to do if we need to. So I think that's one of the things that occurred to me was that's a resource that we have. And we can devote it in our own form of expression to work with the ingredients of what's going on in our country and in the world. Another thing which I think is really important, and I see this coming up over and over again in myself, is anger. And I discovered at some point that underlying the anger, provoking the anger, is fear. So I saw this connection in myself. I began to ask myself, okay, so what am I so pissed off about? And I realized, you know, if I really sat with it, if I really opened to it and was really honest with myself, almost every time it had to do with fear. And I also realized, in a sense, the anger was the front man for my fear. It was easier to be angry than to acknowledge that I was afraid in some particular way. So for me, I think it's really important to recognize that. And that fear begins with thoughts. Almost always, thoughts create what we feel, the emotions that we have. So it's sort of thoughts in terms of anger. Thoughts, fear, anger. And then the scariest part is action. Right? If I act out of fear and anger, mostly my experience is it's been pretty destructive. You know, I have regrets about things that I've done out of fear and anger, but it would have been a lot better if I understood it and worked with it so that I wouldn't have to have regrets about misusing it. So, you know, I'm sure you've read about this and we've talked about this, but we can use our practice to work with anger, with our anger. And I'm going to focus on anger. And the first thing that we can do, if we allow ourselves to, in our sitting, work with that anger. And I know that I experienced that the anger is really a very powerful energy. You know, so it's not fixed. The energy is not fixed. It doesn't have to be anger. But in order to see this, I really had to bear witness to my own anger. You know, really see it. Carl is not an angry person, you know. And so I don't like that I get angry because it doesn't fit who I think I am, you know. So I put a wall up. I'm not going to deal with that. That's ugly. That's an ugly part of me. But through sitting, I became more and more stable, for one thing. I didn't get knocked over so easily by this kind of stuff. I realized that I can be an angry person. And so the job then was to work with this anger, to bear witness to this anger, and realize the connection between the fear I have and the anger I have. And once I brought the truth into the light of day, it became much easier. That's an exaggeration. It became slightly easier to work with it. Another thing that I learned was, in trying to preserve who I thought I was, I created the fear and anger as enemies. And as soon as I did that, I activated more fear and more anger. And by doing that, what happened, of course, was that I created more fear and more anger in myself. And it wasn't a very creative way to work with the anger. Another benefit of sitting is, if you do it consistently over time, we soften. And in that softening, there are less constrictions to how we see ourselves. And slowly, the picture of who we think we are gets bigger. You know, I'm not just this self-centered person that I can be a lot of the time. So as it expands, as who we are expands, we have more compassion. Now, in working with anger, again, my experience was I was blaming somebody else for my anger. My wife made me angry. My neighbor made me angry. My boss made me angry. The guy who cut me off in traffic made me angry. But that's passing the buck. You made me angry. Made me angry. And the truth is, the way that I interpreted what happened, the thoughts that I had, were underneath the anger. So I was giving up responsibility for taking care of my anger by blaming somebody else that made me angry. And of course, it's very hard to have a conversation with somebody if you're looking across the table or they're sitting next to you and you're thinking, you made me angry. It's a very self-righteous position. So compassion comes in with when I discovered that I was doing this, and I discovered all the ways in which I was not working with my anger in a helpful way, and that I was misperceiving it, and I wasn't paying attention to thoughts. This sitting allowed me not only to slowly be more compassionate in the bigger sense, but also to be more compassionate and more forgiving of myself. You know, so then in working with myself with this anger, the shoe wasn't so tight. You know, it was a bigger space to work with the anger. And I was able to, not as an excuse not to take care of it, but I was able to forgive myself when I fell short. I don't remember where this was, but it was the cover of a book, and it was very similar to what Suzuki Roshi said. One of the ways to deal with our anger is to welcome it, allow it to come in through the front door, notice it, say hello, bear witness to it, and then make sure the back door is open. So this energy flows through. We don't hold on to it. We don't hold on to our anger, that self-righteous anger, I'll speak for myself, that I could have. And there was a picture on the cover of a book, and it was an open door and a dark hallway, and all the way down the end of the doorway was another open door. And it was a beautiful metaphor for how to let this energy that we name anger, pass through us. We don't have to capture it and hold on to it, which of course is very destructive. So I talk about anger because I think I can see myself getting angry, and I can see it affecting my behavior, not only in terms of things that I do, the phone calls that he makes, and all the, you know, going to demonstrations and all that. I bring with myself a lot of anger. And I think that that's dangerous, because if you take 1,000 people, okay, so my part is 1/1,000th. But that's my part. So if I contribute anger to that movement of 1,000 people, that's one person that's lending negative energy to the situation. And if you expand it and there's more and more people, the ability to be effective is less and less. Being angry and getting in somebody's face causes them to withdraw, causes them to act in anger, causes us not to be heard. So, and this is, again, my opinion. My work for myself isn't to say, isn't, you know, well, we have to be nice, and, you know, you don't want to say anything bad, and you want to be a good boy, and all that stuff. But it's the challenge for me is to transform that anger into something positive, so that when I move and work in the world, I'm not creating more anger and more hatred. So to work with anger and diminish the anger, to transform the anger, is not surrendering to what's going on. It's looking for a way to be more creative and to create, or to not create, more harm and more hatred. And I have a whole bunch of other notes, but I don't think there's time for that. So I guess one last thing in terms of anger. This is from Thich Nhat Hanh, who, like so many other people that we know, Martin Luther King and Dalai Lama, and, you know, I mean, it's almost endless role models for working with anger and making peace in the world and working to resist what is wrong, in our opinion. So this is walking meditation when angry. Breathing in, I know that anger is here. Breathing out, I know that anger is me. Breathing in, I know that anger is unpleasant. Breathing out, I know this feeling will pass. Breathing in, I am calm. Breathing out, I am strong enough to take care of this anger. So thanks for listening.